You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley. That dude.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, we'll tell you if Derrick Henry's run last night was the best we've ever seen.
Ever? And who will win this week's Eagles-Cowboys showdown. But we start every day with a Whitlock. What you got to do, y'all?
All right, if past is prologue, then no one should be surprised this weekend when Lamar Jackson rolls into Arrowhead Stadium this weekend and gets the best of Patrick Mahomes. Yep, I expect the touchdown underdog Ravens to pull an upset against my Kansas City Chiefs. I've seen this all before. We saw it a dozen years ago when Vince Young unseated a tall, awkward quarterback who had previously led a team to a Super Bowl. Remember the 2006 Tennessee Titans? Kerry Collins was the starting quarterback. Vince Young was the third pick in the draft. The Titans started 0-5. Young took over for Collins and led the Titans to 8 victories in 10 games. Young won NFL Rookie of the Year. The Titans gave Jeff Fisher a contract extension. Fast forward to now. Joe Flacco is a tall, awkward quarterback with a Super Bowl on his resume. John Harbaugh is an embattled, respected coach. And Lamar Jackson is a run-first quarterback with limited throwing ability and a ton of height. With Jackson under center, the Ravens have beaten 3 straight bad teams, the Bengals, the Raiders, and the Falcons. This Sunday, against the 10-2 Chiefs, Jackson and the Ravens can justify all the hype. It's the exact same situation Vince Young found himself in on December 3rd, 2006. Young and the Titans faced the 10-1 Peyton Manning-led Indianapolis Colts. This was the Colts team that would give Manning his first Super Bowl title and Tony Dungy his only title. Young ran for 78 yards that day. The Titans grinded out 219 rushing yards on 35 carries that day and won the game 20-17. Styles make fights. Jackson and the Ravens have the perfect style to foil Mahomes and the Chiefs. You beat Patrick Mahomes by leaning on your running game and parking him on the bench. Jackson can do that. Since he's been Baltimore's quarterback, the Ravens have dominated time of possession. They keep the ball a little more than 37 minutes per game. Last week in the second half, Baltimore held the ball for 24 to 30 minutes against the Falcons. If I mentioned the Chiefs can't stop the run, they give up 5.1 yards per carry, which is second worst in the league. Have I mentioned that Baltimore has the best total defense and scoring defense in the league? This game screams 20-17 Ravens, and it will be played in 2 hours and 30 minutes. When this game is over, you'll have hot take artists screaming that Lamar is the best rookie quarterback. It's going to make sense to give John Harbaugh a contract extension. And I'm going to tell Chiefs fans not to panic. You got to remember Manning, Dungy, and the Colts won the Super Bowl the last time this happened. Losing this game might be a good sign for Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs. All right, joining the desk now are Fox NFL analysts D'Angelo Hall and Eric Dickerson. Marcellus, I'll start with you. You buying my hype that the Ravens upset the Chiefs this weekend in Arrowhead Stadium?
A lot of hype. you are certainly selling it, but I know why. You're motivated. You're like most purists of the game. Defense wins championships. Oh, you can have
cold ground. Outside.
It's cold outside, not outside. Outside, boy. I go over here. I played for Buffalo 4 years, and every time we played a team coming into Buffalo Stadium, they'd be like, man, it's cold, man. How y'all deal with this? We like, we don't. We practice in the dome, too. Like, it's cold to everybody out there, so there's no home field advantage in the cold. I hate when people say that. That said, defense wins championships. Defenses travel. Run game travels. This is a changing of the guard game, and there are a couple of them this weekend, the Bears and the Rams. Does offense and the new style of the NFL prevail over the what the purists say, defense and run game? For me, I think that Kansas City going to beat the brakes off these boys. I'm going there again. Okay. You know why? Okay. Last time I said that, I was a little off.
And yeah,
I
lost the Cowboys and the Saints.
Yeah,
yes.
A lot of tequila later that I had to pay up. I will say this. There's nothing more defeating than a team running the ball down your throat, except when that occurs and it took you 7 minutes to score and it takes them 7 seconds to score. And you're like, we back out here again and the score's tied. I think this is going to be that type of game where the quick, fast KC offense prevails.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. The KC offense is going to prevail. I just don't see how the Ravens, by doing it the way they've been doing it in previous games, they can't keep doing it that way. I don't see how Lamar Jackson can sit back there and run the option and teams aren't just
have you seen the Chiefs linebackers?
I have seen the Chiefs linebackers, but to Marcellus's point, the Ravens are going to take a long time to score. Yeah. The Chiefs are going to go bop, 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 four, five, six plays, touchdown. They're going to be right back out there on the field.
Right.
I just don't think they can consistently do that throughout the whole course of the game.
Close my mind, D'Angelo. You're a defensive player.
I'm a defensive guy.
Defense in the league.
Because of the rules. Because of the rules. The rules dictate how the game is going to be played. Right. It is an offensive league. No matter how great a defense you have, at some point, they're going to throw that jump ball up, P.I., give me a 40-yard gain. There like, the offense, the way today's NFL is, it's just so geared to scoring points and offenses. I don't care how great a defense you have in today's NFL, offenses are going to win.
Hey, there you go. I'm disappointed in you. I thought you'd take the Chiefs. You're a Chiefs fan. You said they're going to beat the Rams. We beat them.
Get them.
I'm with you guys. I don't see how the Baltimore Ravens have survived so far. First of all, they played three bad teams. They're not a good team.
Yes.
This is a very good football team. And you said this team scores very fast.
Yep.
I mean, Baltimore can come out there and they can have that 7 to 8 minute drive. And all of a sudden, Kansas City comes out when they've got four plays in his zone, that wears on the football team. And a quarterback running the football, still, years ago they said it, they still say it today. Keep running, we're going to get you sooner or later.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson running the football, it's going to get him sooner or later. I wish that he was able to throw better. You know, one thing Ozzie Newsome said about him, they really liked him. They really like him. They think he has a really high ceiling. But I think that they put him, I think, you know, he's in there too soon. They had to, but I think eventually it's going to catch up to him.
Did y'all listen to me say we've seen this before?
Yeah.
And that, but you haven't seen it this way. Like, you're saying we've seen it before. Vince Young wasn't asked to run option. He wasn't asked to hype the ball and just take off. What made Donovan McNabb and even Russell Wilson, to a certain extent, what makes him dangerous is he's dropping back to throw. And in dropping back to throw, those rushing lanes aren't quite the same. Like, guys are kind of like, oh, I can't really rush like I want to, because if Russ gets out the pocket or if Mike gets out the pocket, like, they're not letting Lamar Jackson really be a quarterback. They're basically, he's a running back playing quarterback right now.
And they're playing the right team.
Eventually, he's going to get hit, and he will feel it.
And it won't be this week against the Chiefs. And look, I'm a Chiefs fan. I watch more of the Chiefs than y'all. Y'all haven't seen these linebackers for the Chiefs. Everybody runs on the Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah.
Gus Edwards, Lamar Jackson, and Baltimore are going to run the ball about 40 times. It's going to be effective. And Patrick Mahomes is going to be standing on the sidelines. When's it my turn? And when he does get his turn, T-Sizzle and them have something for him on the Baltimore. There will be some stops by the Baltimore defense.
The problem is we're entering the end of the film cycle, and everybody that's been in the league knows that's a four-week cycle. So once we get to see you on film for four consecutive weeks, this will be the fourth week for Lamar Jackson as a starter, those tendencies and those things that you got away with, we're now countering those. And what's going to happen now, that porous run defense of the Kansas City Chiefs is going to say, there's no threat in this passing game. No threat. So guess what? We're going to put 12 in the box.
He walked on up to the box, brother.
Good luck now.
And trust me, Lamar's going to throw one or two over their heads. Again, he's going to throw for 160, 170 yards. But again, that won't sound impressive. But there'll be a couple of chunk plays in there, and then the rest with his feet. Look, I've seen this with Vince Young. We saw it with RG3. Hell, you were there. For a while, this works. And this is in their season where it is going to work as a rookie. And that's why I see him analogous with Vince Young What's your reaction to that? The analogy to Vince Young and Lamar Jackson.
It's interesting. We're in a different NFL because Vince Young went out there and threw more interceptions than he did touchdowns and won Offensive Rookie of the Year. But his coach.
Who's his coach?
His coach was Jeff Fisher.
Say no more.
And like, his coach was Jared Goff's first-year coach.
I say, say no more.
The bus coach. Like I give Vince Young a lot more credit than most people out there. He retired with a winning quarterback record. Look, the numbers weren't great at the quarterback position. But, damn, have we not figured out that Jeff Fisher was out there running plays that Eric Dickerson was running his rookie year?
In high school.
And that, so all I'm looking at is when I see the example of Vince Young, I'm saying, you know what? A guy who is not playing the position properly is not a great balance between pass and run. But like you said, in doses, it will be effective. But I just think this is a week where it finally comes to a halt.
I agree. Anytime, when I saw the stats, I think the first game he played, and I saw 27 rushes, I said, that's got to be a misprint.
Yeah,
that's a running back. Mm-hmm. And then I see he really ran the ball 27 times.
You know what it is?
You run the ball, but let me tell you something. You run the ball 27 times a quarterback. Sooner or later, even if you run it 10, you're going to get hurt.
You know what it is? It's the Jeff Fisher syndrome when a coach gets in survival mode. Mm. They throw game plan and strategy and conventional football out the window. It's like, what can I do to survive? John Harbaugh, like Jeff Fisher, late in his Tennessee, and he's just in survival mode.
Yeah.
And he will run Lamar Jackson until the wheels fall
off.
And this week against Kansas City Chiefs, it's the perfect time to load him up and just run him till the wheels fall off.
I just think to think that the Chiefs defense is not going to somehow have a game plan to say, hey, look, all right, first week we thought maybe they were going to do this. Second week we thought they were, third week, fourth. Look, now we know.
We know.
He is running the ball. He is running option. He is not trying to really throw the ball. And that's why, you can put simple game plans together. And just by spreading guys out, just take those guys out the box and still run the same type of plays. But they're not even doing that. They literally getting in 22 personnel with two tight ends, two backs, and trying to run the ball. And I just don't see how long-term it can work. But it's worked those three games, but you have to look at those opponents, and it's not developing him.
I wanted to respond to the Vince Young analogy.
Yeah.
Do you see an analogy between Vince Young and Lamar Jackson?
I don't, because Vince, at least, I felt like was trying to throw the ball several times when he dropped back. All right, if the first read's not there, and I'm cool with Lamar doing that, but give the kid a chance. Like, I read a quote Lamar Jackson said in this week's press conference. Yeah, we got to throw the ball a little bit. We got to do and when I heard him say that, I kind of, something kind of went off in my head. Like, he probably does not want to play the way they've been playing. He wants to drop back and throw the ball. And so by saying, yeah, we got to get the ball in these receivers' hands, he's making a little sly comment like, hey, look, guys, yeah, we've won three games, but we can't continue to do this. I can't continue to do this because, I mean, he's a glorified running back.
That'll be the only reason why I could potentially be wrong here. If Lamar Jackson tries to do too much, rather than look at that film and look at that run defense and look at them Chiefs linebackers and look at that defense and just take advantage.
Yeah.
They can't stop the run.
Hey, bro.
Some of these guys on the Chiefs defense don't want to tackle. Trust me.
They want to tackle a quarterback.
What we've seen is them not be able to stop running backs.
Yeah.
Running certain
Gus Edwards is going to get
his type of runs. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, Lamar Jackson is going to be all on the edge.
And it's too late to qualify. I heard y'all hear that little qualifier of his band. Only way start dancing now.
He's going to do it. I don't think he's going to do it. If he listens to y'all and thinks, I got to go out here and prove I'm a quarterback, win these games.
Hey, when you're a quarterback and you've won three straight games and you are now looked at maybe as a franchise quarterback, you think after the game you want to go celebrate, hang with your boys, not go to the training room. This dude has to be beat up. What you heard was, hey, man, this ain't for everybody. And it certainly ain't for me. Like, you can't just keep doing this, man. These are linebacker safeties who are now going to have the release.
I can't wait for y'all to watch the Chiefs.
You want another bet, man?
We can definitely bet on this.
Double up.
We ain't doubling up. You already paid off.
I want the
time. I had a bet with the Rams. What about me?
I don't know, but I want some of that action, too.
What about
we all want some of that.
I got a case of Casa de Gones for everybody if I'm wrong on this. Ooh. I've seen this before, and I watched the Chiefs. Y'all don't watch the Chiefs.
Ever wonder how to get the hottest new sneakers, the ones that barely hit shelves? The answer is StockX, a revolutionary new marketplace for buying and selling 100% authentic sneakers, streetwear, watches, and handbags. Millions are already using StockX to find everything after it sells out. From the latest Yeezys to every retro Jordan to the hottest new streetwear from brands like Supreme, Bape, Palace, and Kith. StockX even allows users to buy and sell pre-owned, excellent condition luxury handbags and watches from brands like Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Gucci, Rolex, Omega, Tudor, and more. StockX gives you access to tons of historical price data so you can see exactly how much an item has sold for in the past and how much it's selling for now. Best of all, StockX has removed all the risk from buying and selling online. They provide total anonymity between buyer and seller. StockX is in the middle, so you never have to deal with the random buyer or seller again. And they have experts who verify every item, making sure everything you buy is 100% authentic. Never get burned by fakes again. Go to StockX.com/speak. StockX, now you know.
Time for a big story. Whitlock and Wiley, Eric Dickerson and D'Angelo Hall are back. Let's move to last night's game where we saw one of the most incredible plays ever. Here's the call from Joe and Troy on Fox.
Drive starts at the one and looking for a little breathing room, and they get that and plenty more. Derrick Henry still going. Stays in bounds. He might go 99 yards for the touchdown. Unbelievable.
Images of Tony Dorsett on Monday Night Football right there.
Ugh.
My.
All right, here's Henry's 99-yard run tied Tony Dorsett's record, and the Hall of Famer tweeted about it afterward, writing, quote, congrats to my Heisman Trophy brother, King Henry, on tying the 99-yard record tonight. That stiff arm, rumble, young man, rumble, which leads to the question, is it the greatest run you've ever seen? We'll start with you, Marcellus.
It had me on YouTube, I tell you that. I was like, let me go back, because I was like, let me look for this one, okay? Then first you go to, of course, one of the best running backs ever, Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, let me look through all Barry's runs. And then you start looking, you're like, ooh, I don't know. Like, Barry was making amazing moves, but it wasn't bully ball like that. That was bully ball. And then I was like, all right, let me go. Let me look at ED. Oh, ED going to be on the show. I ain't looking at him. He going to do his own thing, I hope. Then I said, I forgot. There was one that was committed. Like, this is an assault. Stakes were higher, playoff game, and it caused an earthquake. It is the beast mode right here. And I went on YouTube and I realized, oh, ain't nothing messing with this. Can't touch this. Look at all these business decisions. And some of these are just weight room decisions. Like, you should have squatted more. You should have been in there longer. Bench press, get out of here in the club. Oh, my God. Then he got up. And look at that business decision. No one's bringing him down. And this is how you end your play right here. Yeah. Put a stamp on it, exclamation mark right there. So to me, beast mode still reigns supreme.
Yeah, and you mentioned that run. It's funny because that to me is probably one of the best runs I've ever seen too in person. But I mean, just going back, man, I think of like Earl Campbell, some of those runs, and Walter Payton.
Earl Campbell ran over Isaiah Robertson.
Oh,
you remember that?
Yes.
Isaiah Robertson was my favorite player.
It's so many guys that you can put in front of this run by Henry. And yes, it was one of the longest, being 99 yards, but it just wasn't that impressive of a run.
It was
a nice run, but it was almost like those dudes didn't want to touch him. And I mean, he's a big dude. I mean, let's be real. He looks like a defensive end, and so I can see why no one would want to hit him. But the run itself wasn't, I mean,
what?
He just didn't do it for me. Yeah, he threw a little Bouye off. It didn't look like he wanted no parts of him anyway. The linebacker kind of lost his footing.
D'Angelo, you
don't know if the linebacker tried to grab him and sit
down.
That
Malcolm Butler, he just,
No, that wasn't Malcolm Butler.
It was.
Malcolm Butler's on his team, man.
Yeah, what are you talking about? It's the physics.
Right.
It just doesn't look like guys want to hit him as opposed to how great a run that was.
You know how long
some of those other runs, though, Marshawn Lynch, like, dudes was trying to take his head off, and you felt it. You saw it.
All right.
Like, that, that to me wasn't that.
When I look at the run, I'm like, you want something? Get out the way. You don't want to get back to me. Are you scared? You don't want none of this over here?
Exactly.
That's like, okay, all right.
The defense.
The defense was scared. I mean, but is my run on there? Can I have my run?
Can I get mine?
Can I get mine on
there? I watched your whole career. I don't remember.
There we go right there. Here it
is. He got his VHS.
Bam! Here we go. Off to the races. Do you want some of this? No.
Can somebody get in the
car? Holmes can't catch that.
What my man D. Green at? What my man D. Green at?
Don't worry about it.
Don't do that.
D. Green called.
He talking about, he worried about me running him down. D. Green went to get
that guy. But that man, that didn't catch.
Eric, that ain't your best run, Eric.
That's my 85 yard touchdown.
I saw his whole career.
Man, don't pay him, no. He a hater.
Never broke a tackle. Never
broke. Jackie Spader.
I wish I could have ran against you, Jason. You gotta tell me, that's a sweet run. Look,
that is a sweet run.
That man is struggling right there. That man won a phone.
You know you're my idol. You're one of my favorite football players ever. That's a Pop Warner run.
What are you talking about?
That's Pop Warner. You just faster than everybody. Nobody touched you. That's a Pop Warner touchdown right there.
You see the cut? Wait, look at the cut inside. You got the
one cut touchdown.
One cut quick.
Look, here's what Eric had.
We got the hater to my right.
Eric had some of the greatest vision in NFL history.
I couldn't see what the dirt. That's why I wear glasses.
I know.
I couldn't see. I'm blind.
Great vision. Never broke a tackle. But
look at that. Keep showing. Now you're
over there.
Keep
showing. I'm going to throw y'all a curveball.
All right.
And again, this isn't about breaking tackles. This is just about unforgettable run in NFL history.
Mm. Okay.
And I think this is probably the most unforgettable run in NFL history, and it's Marcus Allen in the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. That was
when he reverses course like this in the Super Bowl.
That was a nice run.
You got to remember, Marcus Allen, he's a 4'6 guy. And he just took it to the house this. To me, when I think of the greatest runs, it's in the Super Bowl. And then the other curveball I would throw you is, and again, not a running back, but James Harrison Super Bowl run for a touchdown.
He almost died on that field. He was so tired at the end of that.
Man, really, that wasn't no doubt. Right, he was wore out.
He was wore out.
Do I have to go back on
that
the field?
That was one of the most incredible runs though in NFL history.
It was a good run.
Let's see.
I mean,
let's
look at this.
Let me see it. I forgot it. He caught it.
Come on, man.
Get out of the way.
This is a damn linebacker.
He rolled.
You know, look at that, bro. Look at that.
Okay, that's good. That's more than Eric. That's more than Eric.
Turn the game. Look at that.
Oh, that's more than you, Eric. That's two cuts.
That is a good
play. That is better than I thought.
That is a good one.
When you do those things in the Super Bowl, it's unforgettable. But, you know, we're taking some shine away from Derrick Henry, man. That was a hell of a
run. It was a great run. I just felt as though the defense didn't really want to hit that dude.
They just didn't do the proper geometry. Let's get it right here.
DBs don't never want to hit nobody.
The majority of
them. First thing they say is that, I don't get paid for that. I get paid to cover. That's why I'm like, hit me up here with your little scary self. You're too big.
Yeah, I'm hitting them legs, man. Hit me up here.
And Derrick Henry bigger than E.G.
Bigger than me.
Yeah, Derrick Henry one of the biggest running backs ever. Eric Dickerson and D'Angelo Hall are back. Let's get to some of this weekend's big games. Starting in Dallas, where the Cowboys will look to extend their 4-game winning streak and cement control of the NFC East with a win over the Eagles on Sunday. Despite an inconsistent year for Philadelphia, the defending champs have now won 2 in a row themselves, which actually got an Eagles linebacker talking trash about Dallas this week, saying the Cowboys always choke. All right, I've gone back and forth a little bit on this game, but I have landed on Philadelphia. I think this is the weekend of upsets. And I said it at the top of the show, Baltimore pulls an upset, Philadelphia pulls an upset here and creates chaos in the NFC East. I think Carson Wentz is due for a big game. And I got to be honest with you, I am a bit concerned about Dak Prescott.
Ooh, interesting. I'm with you on that concern with Dak Prescott. And then Dak has shifted the narrative, at least in my eyes, of how he's going to be perceived and how he's going to attack this Philadelphia squad. Dak Prescott, in his own words, kind of changed how I view him right now. Take a look at what Dak's talking about.
Do you pay much attention to bulletin board material or what the starting linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles may have said yesterday?
Who?
The starting linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. Do you pay much attention to that?
You know, Coach Garrett has a great saying, and I don't know where he got it from, but winners worry about winning, and losers worry about winners.
I don't know how you like your guacamole, but I like it spicy. And this sucker put some of that black pepper and that cayenne. Finally, Dak got off of being just this stoic leader and lock in step with Jerry Jones and said, you know what, let me show you a little bit of my funk. But he backs it up. Also, we all know about the win streak right now. Dak has improved. Obviously, when you get Amari Cooper in the fold, things are looking good in the passing game. But more than that, when he played Philadelphia last time, which started this win streak, 36 pass attempts. Usually don't see that. The most this year from Dak Prescott. So there's a confidence building in the room for Dak, especially against the Super Bowl champions. I'm looking forward to some more spice.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas has this game in hand. I just don't see Philadelphia being able, as bad as that secondary is, the offense has been up and down, and Dallas's defense is the strength of that team. You talk about Dak. Dak is, over the last four games, undefeated, 75% completion percentage, no interceptions. Like, to me, Dak is coming into his own. And everyone always wants Dak to be Carson Wentz and do it the way Carson Wentz does it by just throwing it. That's never going to be Dak. He's going to beat you with his feet. He's going to use his arms. He's going to rely on that run game. And ultimately, by not being one of those guys that demands $30 million, you're going to be able to put pieces around him. And I just think Dak, just if he just keeps playing the way he's been playing the last four games, just protecting the football, man, they got a chance. They got a chance moving forward in the playoffs. I just don't see what you see with Philadelphia. I mean, I don't see it at all.
I you know what I do see? I think Jason got something in that cup. We don't see.
Let's check that.
We don't see what he got in that cup. He picked two teams. I don't get it. You know, first of all, Dallas is a running football team. Zeke is playing very well. The last four games, he's averaging 117 yards a game. That's how this team rolls. And also, when I go back to Dak's a young quarterback, really with no weapons. He all of a sudden got Amari Cooper, which gives him an upside. All of a sudden, Michael Gallup is playing better. The defense is playing really good. One thing that impressed me about the Dallas Cowboys, and I saw the New Orleans Saints game, is the way they tackled. Ain't no tackling in the NFL.
Yeah.
This is a tackling defense. So right now, I always say when you peak, right now the Dallas Cowboys are peaking at the right time. So
yeah,
I don't want what you got in that cup, though, I'm telling you.
But a lot of people see that Saints game and they think that's the outlier. Oh, they can't keep that up. I think they can, because the way that they were able to stop the Saints, it wasn't a special formula. They rushed the passer, they stopped the run, and the guys on the back end actually covered guys up. And
I love Dallas' defensive personnel, but I think the key word here is Eric said peaked, and he used peaking. And I think we got an ED situation here, peaked, because of what Jerry made the last game, this Super Bowl. I'll go back to what I said earlier in the week. The emotional energy won't be there. And then when it comes down to who am I going to trust in a game to nip and tuck Doug Peterson and Jason Garrett to make the right decisions down the stretch, I like the Eagles in this game.
But Dak, when he responded to this, didn't give you the corporate answer. He said, who? And then he said, he say, she say? Oh, excuse me. I know where that landed. And then he hit him with that cliche Garrett that he stole from me. That's a Wileyism. And then all that in bundled and still kept it above board without, like, giving them bulletin board material. Dak's feeling it. That's
all
a
right.
good sign.
To a huge matchup between two of the NFC's top teams, with the Bears hosting the Rams Sunday night, L.A. has already locked up a playoff spot, but is still jockeying with the Saints for the NFC's top seed. Meanwhile, the Bears are expected to have Mitch Trubisky back under center as they look to bounce back from last week's embarrassing loss to the Giants. Another upset here, guys. That's my theme this week. You're moving Jared Goff and people like Eric Dickerson that love this California weather. They taking them to that Chicago, outdoor weather in Chicago. Look, we got some numbers here on Jared Goff in four games. When temperatures are below 40 degrees.
Cold out time.
51% completion percentage, 199 yards per game, 5 TDs, 3 intercept passer rating of 75. They're going to get bit.
I just want to know, of that 2-2 record, what's with McVay and what's without
there
McVay?
There we go.
Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to go there.
That's what I wanted to go there.
I got that. Okay, look.
I want some of that.
You going to put out there, it's cold outside. I told you, nobody has an advantage in the cold. It's just
thank you.
We all hate the cold.
Especially when that wind coming from Chicago. Whoa.
Marcellus, I guarantee you, if I took you to my hometown in Indianapolis right now, you would have a harder time than me because I'm used to it. You're not. You're an L.A. boy.
That ain't the reason, Jason. You got more. You got way more.
Cody.
I ain't going there. Got church on Sunday. Here's the thing. Jared Goff is playing in a primetime game, right? Oh, let's isolate those variables. The lights are brighter, more wattage in those games. Do you know what Jared Goff has done in the four primetime games he's been in with Sean McVay? Nearly flawless performances, 14 touchdowns, zero interceptions to go, and they haven't lost a game. This is a primetime game. Lights bright, Rams show up. I think they win this game.
Yeah, the Rams have too many weapons. Like, that Bears defense is good, but it's just too many weapons. Every time I talk about this Rams offense, I feel like I'm really talking about the Chiefs offense because they have so many weapons and they can spread that ball around. I just don't see it. Even if Trubisky's coming back, to me that offense is still kind of gimmicky, and he executes it a lot better than Chase Daniels does, without a doubt.
But
I just don't think they have enough firepower to ultimately compete
with
the Rams.
Before you go, Eric, I want to give D'Angelo this bit of news.
Okay.
The two losses are with Fisher. The two wins are with McVay.
Oh. Okay.
All right, there you go. There we go. Well, now, speaking of for the Rams, as the Ram ambassador over here.
Yeah, Ram
ambassador.
Go ahead and do your Ram song.
You said, put
that video up.
You said it best, Marcellus. The cold, first of all, everybody's cold. They're used to it. They're not used to it. When you get out there and the game starts, it's all up equal playing ground. Now, all of a sudden, when you fall behind, you look up there and it's 21-0.
It gets colder.
It gets really chilly then. That's when it starts getting, dang, if it's 28, oh, man, I got three more quarters of this, man. Golly, it's going to be over. Yeah. Now, if you up, no problem. I don't care if you came from California, you came from Hawaii. Mm. When you winning, it's all good.
Oh, yeah,
it don't make a difference.
Yeah.
And one thing about Trubisky, I saw him play a month ago. They played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm like, he had 5 touchdowns. He should have had 12. I'm like, everybody was open. I'm like, my God, he overthrowing people. So I'm not really impressed with him. Yeah, he can run the football, but this is a football game. We should win. And not easily. I think it's going to be like 20, maybe 21-17.
There's a name that it's like y'all refusing to mention. Y'all, Trubisky.
Ooh, Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack.
Mack.
There's an opportunity for Khalil Mack to get right on the same platform as Aaron Donald.
There we go.
Put his name in the defense. I'm sure
you got his name too.
I got his name too.
16 and a half sacks.
Yeah, I understand.
That guy there.
I purposely left two great players out of the conversation because they're going to cancel each other out. They're two great players. Right. They're going to both make plays. You can pencil that in. It's the other guys around those guys. And the Bears just don't have as many as I feel like the Rams do.
Yeah, where's your belief in the Rams? Like, are you just saying this is going to be a good game? Or are you just thinking this team
just
is going to
be a good game? Just like I told y'all in the A block, just because I think the Chiefs are getting beat don't mean I don't think they're not going to be a factor.
Right.
Just because the Rams go on the road in the cold in Chicago with Trubisky back and Matt Nagy and these guys, it's a more, to me, and I know the Rams want home field advantage over the Saints, I think it's a little bit more urgent for the Bears to announce themselves as a legitimate contender. I just again, I'll go back to the emotional edge. It's going to be with Chicago at home in the cold.
You keep saying cold. I saw Arizona travel to the snow in Green Bay
and beat them boys down.
Green Bay to business and get their coach fired. Like,
you
it can happen,
Brewster's
man.
Millions, taking all the long shots on the Brewster's Millions.
Support for Speak for Yourself comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Let's talk about buying a home. It can be one of the most important purchases you'll ever make. But today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher payments, which can turn a great experience into an anxious one. That's why Quicken Loans created their exclusive power buying process. Here's how it works. They check your income, assets, and credit to give you a verified approval. This gives you the strength of a cash buyer, making your offer more attractive to sellers. Once verified, you qualify for their exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your interest rate for up to 90 days while you shop for a new home. Then once you've found the one, if rates have gone up, your rate stays the same. But if rates have gone down, you get to keep that new, lower rate. Either way, you win. It's the kind of thinking you'd expect from America's largest mortgage lender. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/speak. Rate Shield approval Only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply. Based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Time to put on our thinking caps. I'm Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley over here, Eric Dickerson and D'Angelo Hall are back. As you all know, I'm a journalist, and we've got our resident Ivy Leaguer, Columbia's very own Marcellus Wiley.
Thank you very much.
Eric, did they give you a degree at SMU?
Yes, they did.
Along with a briefcase of money?
He paid for it.
He
on me all the time.
He paid for it.
I love my school. That's how I just say
that. Shout out VTech. I got mine, too.
All right, so we're going to take a deeper look at an issue in sports. We've got a special cap for Marcellus. Darnell, bring it out.
Oh, huh?
Yeah.
And stay out the club. I saw you last night. I dare you, Oha. Bathe him thoroughly.
All right, let's move to college football, where Tua Tagovailoa could be headed for a Heisman Trophy this weekend after an incredible season leading top-ranked Alabama back to the playoffs. During his time in Tuscaloosa, Tua has been an exemplary player and young man. And before last week's game against Georgia, he gave a very candid answer about how his father kept him focused on excelling on the field when he was younger, saying, quote, "If I don't perform well, perform the way I'm supposed to, I'm going to get it afterwards. Just know the belt was involved and other things were involved as well." All right, I watched the interview on ESPN. It was very interesting, and I've met Tua. Great kid. Great kid. And very proud of his family, but and so I don't want to have a specific discussion about spanking your kids, because that can, you know, people's got their positions and theories on that. I want to have a conversation about what's the proper role for a father and an athlete, and when is when do they go too far? And so when I watched Tua's interview, I was like, wow. Is that a poor performance? And I thought about me and my dad's relationship with sports. And my dad came to all my games. But he was never the driving force, or my mother, the driving force of me athletically. That was all me. And but I look at, I wasn't Tua. I just sit there and think, well, damn, what if my father had been on me and driven me in that way and in that fashion? And so sometimes it you know, you got to break some eggs to make good scrambled eggs. And so I just, you guys are fathers. I want to step back here. What do you think of Tua's dad, and just what is the proper balance for a father and his their son or daughter as an athlete?
I want to preface everything like you did by saying I'm not a fan of retro cultural assessments, like going back in time and saying, oh, they did it wrong then, because there are lighthearted ones and there are serious ones. We do it a lot. You could do it in pop culture. You could do it with music. You're like, y'all used to listen to that? Or you could do it with clothing. Like, oh, y'all used to wear those 5X t-shirts? Or you look at them Gumby flat tops and stuff. Craziness. Or it could be serious stuff. Y'all used to smoke on airplanes? How dare you? Oh, look at you guys out there now. No safety belts for the kids? I was 3 years old riding in a lap belt in the front seat of a Monte Carlo bobbing like this. No car seat, you know? So I'm not a fan of going back and saying, how dare you? Adrian Peterson in our world kind of died on the cross for that cause of like, okay, you having your child, is it discipline or is it abuse? I want to stay out of that as well. But as a parent, the best way I've seen in my locker room, taking an assessment of all the guys who got there and their motivations, it has to be internal. It has to be driven by them. It has to be supported. It has to be directed, but it can't be pushed to a point where they're only responding to that push, because when they get to a place where it requires a greater will than someone else's skill, where is that gonna come from? Because daddy ain't on the field with you. Daddy ain't between the white lines with you. So there are outliers out there, obviously, Richard Williams and what he did with Serena and Venus, Earl Woods. We all know there are outliers out there, and these are some major figures in sports. But I think for the common kid, who more than likely is not even gonna make it to the pro level, if you're really trying to give that kid a sense of fulfillment and happiness, which is what you really wanna leave the game with, I say let them be the driving force.
Yeah, I mean, each individual kid has to want to succeed themselves. I think about myself.
And my mom was at every game, even when I got to the league, every game. But she never made it about herself or, look, we need this. I feel like a lot of parents make it so, like, we need this.
Oh, yeah.
So they push those kids because they're living their dreams through those kids. And, you know, I coach high school football, too. And, like, I tell the kids all the time, like, I can't motivate you to want to make this play. And that's the problem. It's too many parents who try to motivate their kids to make a play or make them play sports that they don't want to play. Because, like you said, at some point, dad is not going to be in the picture. Mm. Like, you could have a great five-star athlete kid in high school, send him to college, and he's going to be by himself. Mm. So if he himself doesn't have that drive and motivation to be great, it doesn't matter what the parent does, because at some point, that kid's not going to be with that parent. So that kid has to show up. And for a lot of times, some of these kids, the parent is the one who wants them to be great. Mm. And that kid could be a good athlete, but it's that parent's drive. It's that parent's, man, I missed out on this in high school, so I'm living through my kid. It's too many parents in sports that live through their kids instead of letting that kid be a kid.
I agree with that. I think the kid has to have a love for what he wants to do, especially football. You can't play football if you have a love for it because you'll get hurt. That's the ultimate team sport, man sport. And I'm glad you said when you said your mom, a mother, because mothers play a big part too. Moms don't, they're not like the dads. You know, mom's like, hey, if you play, you know, moms are very important because when you think about it, when you play football, hey, mom, you know, it's our, hey, mom. Mm-hmm. It's never about, hey, dad. That's very rare. My dad had to say, my dad passed away when I was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And my dad said this to me. He loved sports, but he loved God more. He said, son, all that you do, do with your might. Things done by halves are never done right. And I always did everything 100%. I might not like it, mm-hmm. but I did it 100%. And I got that lesson by one day I went to cut the yard and I went to go play with my friends. I cut the yard really quick, go put the lawnmower up. He come back, he say, boy, what you doing? I say, I'm finished. He say, turn around, look at that yard. Mm. I looked at it, oh, patches everywhere. He say, cut the whole thing again. So I learned that lesson fast.
Tell me your dad's philosophy again, say it again and then explain it.
All that you do, do with your might. Things done by halves are never done right.
Gotcha.
So if you're going to do something, you do it 100%. Don't do it half-assed. It's like playing sports. If you look back and you thought, you know, I kind of dogged in that game. When you retire, you'll look back and say, man, I wish I'd have played a little bit harder.
Yep.
I wish I'd have did a little bit more.
And that's the message I give. And that's the message. Because you never know when that last play is going to be or when that last opportunity is going to be. And when you look back, it's like, man, I could have done that much better.
I wish I could have done that.
And you don't want them to live with regret, so you try to put that in their heads now while they're young. Like, go hard, because you never know when that last play is going to be or when that last opportunity to step on this field and have fun. Because as you keep playing any sport, you will eventually start to see the business side, and it's not fun anymore. And so, like, I'm a big proponent in letting these kids have fun now, because as they get older, it ain't gonna be no more fun.
It ain't no fun.
You are clearly the highest achiever on this set and one of the highest achievers we've ever seen in sports. And so I look and I go, man, Tiger Woods, his father, heavily involved. Richard Williams with his two daughters, heavily involved. And I know you said your dad passed at an early age, but did your dad play any role in your success as an athlete? And if so, in what way?
And just what I told you, by doing everything right. You know, my dad was big on, he loved sports. He loved baseball more than he loved football. But his thing was, Eric, whatever you do, do it hard. Give 100%, even if you don't like it. You know, if you're gonna be a janitor, he said, be the best janitor. You know, if you're gonna be a bus driver, be the best bus driver. And that was my motto. I mean, he didn't push me like that. He loved me for no matter what. You know, if sometimes I'd be down on myself after a game. He said, son, you got another one next week. Don't worry about it.
Marcellus, I want to ask you because I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know you're a big supporter of LaVar Ball.
Yes.
And seeing this with Tua and just seeing, and look, LaVar Ball's kids achieving at a very high level. What do you think of his fathering style as it relates to his kids? Does he go too far? Just enough? What's your take on?
Yeah. It's interesting that most people that seem like they're pressuring their kids, or if you want to say living vicariously through their kids, a lot of times it comes from The fact that they want to escape their environment. So LeVar Ball is a guy who grew up in South Central. I grew up with his brothers as well, went to the same high school, everything. And once you escape that, you take, it's interesting, the hood will either, unfortunately, take you down, but if you survive that, you're stronger for it. So then you take those principles, and LeVar Ball is like, we're going to grind. We're going to work. We're going to be focused and narrowly focused on this game of basketball. And he's had tremendous results. The escape is one part. And also idle time. Let's just be real. A lot of kids, if you just let them aimlessly live their childhood years and their teenage years, they will find trouble. They will gravitate towards things that won't serve them for the greater good. So sports becomes that thing. And I love a parent that's fully involved. My father was simple. He's like, if you start it, you got to finish it. That's it. He's like, you can play any sport. You can play no sports. Whatever you're doing, you're just committed to it. And that was it. And that got me internally motivated. That was just my simple game plan. Like Eric said, he was always going 100%. I was always fully committed to whatever I had to do, and it was just as simple as that.
Both of you guys with young kids, I think things have changed dramatically from me and Eric's era in terms of when Eric and I were kids, hey, man, you can make it to the pros and have a good life. You can make it to the pros now and have an exceptional, great life and create wealth generationally. Yep. The prize is so much bigger, and so I get why parents are more involved.
Yeah, no, I absolutely get why a parent would be motivated to push their kids to the moon and beyond, but coming from where I came from and, you know, my circumstances, I feel like I've made kind of that sacrifice. Like people are like, would you let your son play football now with all the injuries?
Yeah, it's me then.
Well, yeah, if he chooses to, but I won't push him one way. I tell my son all the time, he has scholarship offers now. Yep. Look, if you don't want to play, don't feel like you have to play for me. I lived my dream and I made it. Like we're good. Family, we're good. You're good. You're going to be good. I want you to just do what you want to do and what you feel most comfortable doing. If that's playing football, by God, I'm going to be for you. If it's baseball, if it's basketball, if it's nothing and being a school teacher, I'm going to be with it because I don't feel like it's as though my son's my lottery ticket. Like, I had already hit that lottery ticket. So now everything else is just extra on top.
Yeah, I'm with you there. You see it. I go to a Pop Warner game, and it's amazing. The same dynamic exists everywhere. Yes. Suburbs, hood, yes. It doesn't matter. These parents are going ham for these nine-year-olds. And I'm like, that's great. Oh, Marcellus, can you take a picture of my son? Yeah, he's going to be in the pros one day, too. And I always take the picture, smile, everything good. Then I pull the parent to the side. 5 seconds, I say, make sure you're as enthusiastic for his report card.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Right.
Just give him a balance in that, because most of these kids are not going to make it, and I think that proper perspective matters. But once I made it out and my family changed, our dynamic, our generational wealth was started to be created, it's a different emphasis. I got a 3-year-old left-handed beast at home right now. And I'm looking at him like, do you want to be a zoologist? Do you want to be a doctor? but look, my parents saw me coming. They was like, we ain't going to push you, but look at that football over there, right? Look at that track over there. And it was a different mindset in the household. We're having different conversations at home. Yeah. I know what a CPA is. My son will now know. I didn't know what the hell that was when I was 7 years old. It's a whole different generation, like you said.
Well, one thing you said to them, Jason, is that they have young kids. I got young kids, too. Oh. I'm an old man with young kids. I got a 6-year-old son. I'm finna go to a basketball game and I leave him my 13-year-old daughter.
Wow.
But the thing is you're right. My one thing my dad was, my parents were big on, is about being a good man, being a good person, because it's life after sports. It really is.
Yeah,
you can play. You can be the greatest football player, the greatest basketball player, but people say, man, he's ass, though. He's not a good person. He's just not a good person. Yeah, he was great there, but he's not. And that's the most important thing, I think, for any kid, is the parent teaches them how to be a good person.
And we have such a different dynamic. You talk about ED and his success being a Hall of Famer. Like, his kids have to now live in those shadows. Like, I'm nowhere near the kind of player he was, but my kid has to, like, my kid was a receiver and a running back. Freshman All-American. You know the next school he was at, he was playing DB. Why? Because his daddy, D'Angelo Hall. Man, kid ain't never played DB in his life. Mm. But he has to live in those shadows. So me as a dad, I have to protect him. look, it ain't about me. Like, coach, don't let him play DB because I play DB. If he actually can play it, all right, cool. But don't just stick him somewhere because of me. So we as parents, too, like, some of what the athlete deals with in terms of their kids is a lot different than the average person deals with their kids.
I just want to push back on all of us because we are really satisfied, fat, and full because we got to accomplish our goals. Think about it. We sat there and designed a life and actually achieved it by our field play and our performances, and now we translated it and transferred it to here. But there are a lot of parents out there that don't have that same success record. They don't have that same feeling of going out there and achievement. And when that occurs and then that kid has potential, that's where we have this issue right here.
Yeah.
Because the parents are like, if I give you that extra push that I didn't get or I didn't see, it could come through you. And that's where I think this real dynamic has an issue. It's not us. It's the ones who, we sit at the games, we sitting there, people coming up to us. When you're that high school star who didn't make it and your boy looks like he's a beast, that's the parent that we're talking to.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, D'Angelo. Thank you, Eric. Former NBA champion Dante Jones is here. Let's talk some hoops, where it's been nearly a month since we last saw Carmelo Anthony on the floor after an embarrassing stint with the Rockets that ended with Melo being relegated to permanent DNP status, but there might be a light at the end of the tunnel for the aging all-star with a report surfacing from The Athletic that Melo's good friend LeBron James is actually interested in bringing him to the Lakers. I kind of buy it. LeBron is that kind of a friend, but I kind of buy that there may be some interest, but I don't think Carmelo would be a good fit.
Why not? Why not a good fit?
Did you see what happened to the Rockets?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen what's happening with OKC without him?
Mm-hmm.
It's addition by subtraction.
Look, maybe not great situations, but as long as we're not categorizing Carmelo as garbage, which I think some people go too far and exaggerate his demise, I think that a team that is dealing with injuries, Brandon Ingram has his injury right now, the ankle, a couple games, and they're still trying to figure out the lineup. You got a Michael Beasley not playing himself into the lineup. So can a Carmelo Anthony come and help your team? I think yes. One, you can never have enough good players. And two, his friend, best friend, is the leader of their team. So that means they're going to stay lock and step. Carmelo won't be cancerous or whatever everyone is concerned
about. He's going to want to be number two.
No.
Yes, he will.
No.
Yes, he will.
Well, if he wants to do that, he'll stay at home because there's no way that Carmelo's going
to be number two.
Basketball situation. Was the Houston Rockets a good fit for him? No. Was OKC a good fit for him? No. But that does not mean he is a bad basketball player or not great or not an all-time great. He needs to be in the right situation for him. Is the Lakers the right situation for him? No, not right now. But I'm a proponent of the fact that the Lakers team you see right now won't be the Lakers team you see at the end of the year going to the playoffs. Mm. And the Lakers team that wins a championship eventually won't be the one you see right now. So I think there's a point in time where he will be a fit and you can fit him into that puzzle. But right now, so my advice would be to just be a little patient right now with him, because find the right spot to continue your legacy, because you're great. You're an all-time great. You still have much to give to the game of basketball. But it's in the right place at the right time rather than on any team.
Dante, you said something fascinating. I'm sorry you've taken us off course, but I got to go there. The Lakers right now, things are going pretty well since their slow start, and you still think this isn't the team we're going to see come April or May?
I think there'll be minor tweaks, and it's not something I know, but in my opinion, I think they'll use some of their assets to try and upgrade certain positions, if possible, if things come available, because the NBA season shakes up towards the middle to the end of the year. And I think guys will be available that can help change that team. Do I think they'll use some of their assets at one point in time? Yes, I think so. I think that was part of the master plan right now. So.
And in terms of Carmelo, what are the ingredients that have to happen for Carmelo to be a good fit for the Lakers? Would a flu epidemic have to come in and wipe out most of the team? No. How does he become a fit?
He's not a role player, and a role player has to be available for any situation that comes and just fit in and fill in. I was a role player, so you have to be prepared for anything. Mm. He's a person that has a specific skill set that can get something done with consistency.
Ball stopping?
He's not a ball stopper. He's a scorer. So if you put him in position to score, but on a USA basketball team, he's not a ball stopper. When you have somebody that can give him the ball at the right points and times and control an offense, he can be great. And he needs that at this point in time in his career. He's a stretch four right now. And he needs some. He's a dominant ball handler that will move the ball and not allow him to be a ball stopper. But he still has good things to give to the game, and he can be great on a great team.
Looking at him through basketball eyes, in terms of him being in shape, his skill set, where is he? Because if you look at some of his numbers, we killed a guy, and he was shooting 32% in Houston this year, 40 from the field, 32 from three. You can look at some of Kobe's numbers, especially from the three, and it's like, he has a lot of seasons worse than the 32%, right. But we still kept giving Kobe the ball at the three-point line.
You just put Kobe and Carmelo in the same sentence. I know you're a Clippers fan, but cut it out.
I'm not going that far.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, when you have scores like that, they need a consistent block of games to be able to judge them, not short periods, because shooters go up and down throughout the course of a season. Yeah. And at that point in time was the adjustment period of how he was going to play with those guys, where he was going to get his shots. Went off the bench, like he was trying to find his way through, and his minutes were definitely not consistent.
So he still has it.
So great players need consistency.
He still has it?
He's not a role player. Role players get the scraps.
You don't hear my question, huh?
He still has it. He still has something. Okay, it's different than what it used to be, but he still has something.
Okay. Killer threes and the big three would love to have Carmelo. Time to get antisocial, Marcellus.
Let's get some.
My favorite segment. Our social media manager, Darnell Smith, is here.
What up?
Darnell.
Powder over there.
Got to celebrate. Yeah. Romeo Elliott offered by Ball State yesterday.
Yes, sir.
What happened? Our running back.
Oh, you're running back?
Running back.
Oh, respect to him. Respect. Yeah. You know, people ever tell you in TV not to wear white on camera?
Why is that?
I don't know. I just heard that. You ain't supposed to wear white.
Okay.
But you did it. You pulling it off.
I still look good.
What's popping out there on Twitter? We got to be quick.
Yeah.
Don't hurry.
Let's start off with the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
Everyone on Twitter has been arguing back and forth on who should win. Touchdown Tua from Alabama, Kyler Murray from Oklahoma. Mm. Our buddy Joe Klatt tweeted about the showdown saying, rather than argue about which historically great QB was best this year, I suggest we at least take a moment and just cherish what Tua, Kyler, and Dwayne Haskins did. Well, Joe, that sounds good, but we all know that Haskins ain't got a chance of winning. So I'm going to ask y'all this. Who should win, Tua or Kyler?
I'm going with Tua.
You going with Tua?
Yeah, he didn't play in the fourth quarter, so his numbers are a little worse than Kyler's, but I'm going with Tua. He plays for Alabama.
I'm going with Tua as well, man. Those numbers are insane. He played the position perfectly this year, and I'm not going to penalize him for not having that fourth quarter. And looking at his numbers, the one that jumps out, he only got two whoopings from his daddy this year because only two picks. Is that too much? That's too much too soon? But that's all I jumped out of me. But the dude's playing the position like none other.
I'm not touching that. I'm not following
you
that.
Ain't right.
Go ahead, Darnell.
All right, man. Moving on to another Heisman Trophy winner, RG3. Look, he must have watched the show yesterday and saw us clowning his haircut. So dude responded with this funny tweet.
What's that?
Check it out. Yo barber, his barber, no barber. Don't matter. I live life over the edge. God, I thought it was pretty funny, man. He's referencing this LeBron meme from a while back. I got to give him his props. Do y'all like his response here?
I like his response. He's got a little sense of humor. That's good.
Yeah.
You can't take yourself too seriously. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with this response. He does need a haircut, and so do I. He's probably watching right now.
Right.
I need a haircut, too.
Yeah, I'm glad he didn't punch back because, you know, a lot of times even the criticism you get on social media, if you come back, like, with a lighthearted response or, like, you got me, then the other person always writes you back like, oh, I was just playing, man. I'm a big fan. You know what I mean? So I'm glad he came back and made some lemonade.
He still need a haircut, though.
Oh, hell yeah. That boy need all them barbers. Coming to America, that whole scene, he need to be in it.
I'm going to tell you one person who looks at this picture very jealously.
What?
LeBron James.
Man, LeBron ain't got no hairline.
Hey, let it go. And just a hairline. TKO. You need to let that. Boy, if LeBron don't let that thing go.
LeBron got a five head, man.
Man, that thing a problem, brother.
All right, go ahead, Darnell.
Yeah, I'm not sure y'all heard this from Thursday Night Football, but Troy Aikman said something that got the internet buzzing. Take a listen.
They're putting together a nice drive right here. Third and short. See if they can keep it going and come away with something more than a field goal attempt. They got to go get this bread.
Oh, man. Twitter was all about this, man. Troy got a lot of love. I mean, so what other slang would y'all like to hear out of Troy?
You know what? I would love to hear him call a Big Ben game when Big Ben throws one of them interceptions. Troy would be like, he ain't about that life.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't even gonna say mine, because that's way better. If Troy Aikman said anything about that life, my DVR gonna break me rewinding that every 5 seconds. What if you say, what it do? Or something like that. Just...
Gang, gang, gang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If, come on, you know, man. Have y'all
seen,
we
don't have it, I don't think, but have y'all seen, people say Troy Aikman is the white Jay-Z that they look alike. Have you seen that?
Oh, I have. So, you know, they really do, too. Yeah. They
so
really
maybe
do.
Troy is a little more hip. He's for the culture more than we know, man.
There it is. There it is.
Oh, man.
All right, Darnell.
Yeah, man, I didn't know if y'all saw this Ryan Shazier video. He posted this into his Instagram doing some deadlifts. It's been about a year since his brutal injury on the football field, so I thought it was pretty inspiring just to see his progress he's made. What do you guys think?
Love it. Love it. Very inspirational. You know, I know he wants to play football again. I don't really care whether he plays football again. I just love to see him rehabilitating and back on his feet.
Yeah, man. Bigger than the sport, man. This is the game of life. And rehabilitating yourself just to be there for your family, just to be able to walk around and get back to that normal citizen level. Forget the football field. But, hey, if you can get there, even more inspirational. But I love this, man. Respect to him.
All right, last but not least, what's trending, Darnell?
Yeah, man, on the herd today, our guy Colin was talking about Aaron Rodgers and all his, you know, his past month with all the drama with his coaches, his brother, and had an interesting prediction for the weekend. Take a listen.
What'd he say?
Aaron Rodgers is going to play great Sunday. It's been a bad couple of weeks for Aaron Rodgers, the golden boy, the golden arm, fawned over for a decade. What would make all the bad stuff go away? A brilliant performance this Sunday against Atlanta.
I think Rodgers bounces back this weekend.
Do I? I hope that he does. I think Colin is right. They're playing the Falcons, and the Falcons are trash this year. But I'm not so sure, and I'll say this, and I say this playfully. I love Colin's blazing five picks.
Yeah.
He's been a little cold lately. The blaze has been put out. And so I kind of like Green Bay until I heard Colin was on them as well. Right. So I'm going to give Cowher a little Twitter off here.
You're going opposite now. Yeah, whatever you
yeah,
say.
Yeah, I'm fading Colin the last couple of weeks, and it's worked out wonderfully.
Oh,
those blazing picks are blizzard picks.
Cold as hell out here.
Buffalo picks. Aaron Rodgers played Arizona last week and didn't look great. You're like, bad teams don't matter if you're not focused upstairs, everything's working out in your personal life to your professional life, and your play caller is consistent and on page with you. I don't know what shakeup has occurred in that organization. I'm not going on a limb saying he's going to play great. He's a great player, but this may be another hiccup game for him.
Yeah, I could see just as easily the narrative continue.
Yep.
Oh, it wasn't just Mike McCarthy. The issues are bigger.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm not ready to jump on that bandwagon. Great job, Darnell.
Thank you.
Go,
thank you.
What up? A very special edition of the approval rating. We're actually going to let Uncle Jimmy judge Marcellus and I.
Oh,
and I.
Oh,
you got some extra work judging all after work, I see. You're
Judge
in character.
Jimmy.
Judge Jimmy is...
Don't the gavel need something else to make it...
Yeah, it needs something.
It's all muted.
It needs something.
There it is. There you go, brother. What you gonna do,
Are you
Jimmy?
Ready for this?
Yeah, are you
I'm
prepared?
Ready. I'm ready. Come on, man. Get your stuff out. Come on.
Oh, all right. All right. Well,
man, we on a mission
here's
here.
Some highlights. What? From us, from Marcellus and I, this week in the show.
That's
set the
cost
table
you.
For Jimmy's
judgment. Okay. He likes a half a point.
You got Khloe Kardashian out at wide receiver and Antonio Brown. You got Kim Kardashian at quarterback. Mm. You got Kendall Jenner set out the entire season and Le'Veon Bell.
You are good. I've had public beef with Aaron Rodgers. I had private little snickering with Aaron Rodgers. Personally, not my type of quarterback, not my type of leader. He's a porcupine. You know, he's tough to be around.
What he was doing when he was bending down, I've seen that over and over and over again in training.
So you choked?
I wouldn't say choked.
Yeah, I wouldn't say choked.
I wouldn't say choked.
I think KD used the right word. I give him credit for the toxic in the sense of not so much poisonous, but...
Toxic means poisonous.
But no, not in
right,
just
the
that.
Wrong word.
No. Toxic in the sense of it will start to diminish you. It will start to take oxygen away from you.
Who rigged up these highlights, man? Because see, I think they rigged them up so you'll get a better approval rating than me. Mm. They should have shown more of me.
I come to some production meetings, especially the ones that are going to make me look good. Yeah,
all right, Uncle Jimmy.
Wait, before I do, was that you? Was that you we just saw? You know I just real mean? Quickly. Come on, Jason. Was that you we saw?
That was me.
Oh,
that
okay,
was
all right. That's all I want to know.
I know one thing. Oh. I better be rated higher than Marcel.
I want you to want in one hand. Never mind. All right, listen here. Here's what we... Okay, we ready here, man?
Yeah.
Let's get on with this here, man. First of all, y'all been seeing me run around here all week long like this. Y'all thought I couldn't know my lines. No, they had me judging y'all and grading y'all. So let's go ahead and start. I'm going to start with you, Mark Ellis, if you don't mind.
Mark Ellis?
All right. Who that? Son, let me tell you something. Look at me when I'm talking to you, Mark.
Look at me, Mark. Okay.
You did good, man.
I did good?
What yeah, outstanding. For real.
Whoa, look at them numbers.
The borderline flawless.
Whoa. I'm taking next week off.
I'm not really sure about you calling Aaron Rodgers a concubine. But I'm not going to get into your personal business. Like I told you, stay out of mine.
We got beef.
Porcupine.
Porcupine,
not beef. But
whatever you did, hey.
My character's that low?
Listen, Mark Ellis.
You don't like me?
Mark Ellis, just so you know, hey, the brothers from the dot love you. You understand? We love you. You know what I'm saying? You know, send love out to Lil Ghost, Big Deuce. You know what I'm saying? Because you keep it real.
Keep it moving.
All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, keep it moving.
Job performance 23, all-time greatness 24. Character 15, authenticity 22. Had to duck you a few points of authenticity because I know you being black and of predominantly minority descent that it's hard to believe that your mother named you Mark Ellis with that spelling. Seemed a little fake to me, a little suspect.
That's Cassius Clay.
I got you at 84.
Cassius Marcellus
Mark
Clay.
Ellis. Mark Ellis, you a goat.
That's the blackest name ever.
Okay, you a goat, okay?
Champ.
All right.
Goat. Oh, if he's a goat, I know what I am.
Oh, we know.
Right. Goat. Where we at here? Come on here, nephew. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You a whole different story. But I'm going to tell you this. I think I speak for all of America when I wish for one second we all was together hoping that Deontay Wilder jumped across that desk and knocked your ass out. How dare you tell the world champion of the world that he choked? The hell wrong with you? You got some nerve, Buffalo Butt. I just want to say that to you. I'm keeping it 100, okay?
Buffalo,
all right, first of all, how in the hell dare you ever disrespect the world champion of the world?
World champion.
Give less than a damn if he came to the ring last Saturday night looking like he's starring in his own personal version of King of Thrones. You know what I'm saying?
Game of Thrones.
You know what I'm saying?
He looking
real talk, Deontay, you need to come holler at your boy. I'm going to take you back to the dot. We're going to go down to Aunt Helen's Fashions. We're going to get you hooked up. We're going to get the matching short set.
Oh, man.
With the silk socks and sandals.
That sounds ghetto.
Wait a minute, with the big glasses with your initials on them.
Okay.
All right, anyway, man, I'm going to get him clean. He's going to be clean, plastic clean.
All right.
Nephew, long story short, man, yep. It's a rough week for you. Job performance 1. You are all-time great. You up to a 0. Biggest character. You the biggest character I know. So I'm going to give you a 21 for authenticity. Authenticity is 17. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, you keep it. And then you, nobody can keep it 300. What is you, 300, 350? You know better than you. Total of 39.
Damn.
You're just a straight dumpster fire, nephew.
Black.
I didn't call you garbage, but you is a dumpster fire.
Oh,
but real quick, hey, man, can we do something real quick?
Yes.
Let me show y'all how this is done. Let's look at some real highlights. Let's see what the people really came here for.
What's that?
We know why they watch Speak for Yourself.
Tell them.
What?
I'm going to give you what you came here for. Damn, damn, damn. Zachary Oswald Prescott. Damn you. Don't hate. Uncle Jimmy don't discriminate. I take them 18 to 80. Blind, crippling, crazy. Don't judge me, man.
Ain't got enough.
Dynamite!
Uncle Jimmy's on the main line. Come tell him what you want.